Okay, Chevra. We have to cover Siman Sadi Bey's Se'ifim Hey through Zion, or Hey through the beginning of Zion, and we'll try to do it in a relatively brief way as an overview. You see, the Gemara and Daf Kuf Ches, which has been like our best friend for the last couple of weeks, about Tipas Cholav Shanafla Al HaChaticha, and the Gemara speaks about when a Tipas Cholav falls on a piece of meat. But the Gemara does not discuss the kashrus implications of a tipas cholov that falls on the kedera, when the milk falls on the pot. And this is actually a shayla that is not particularly uncommon. One of my kids has difficulty getting out of bed in the morning, and one of the things that gets them out of bed is making hot cocoa. And the thing about making hot cocoa when you're someone like me is that sometimes you space out. Right? Hot cocoa is not supposed to boil. That's the yesod. If you want to make hot cocoa well, you never let it boil. But when you space out, it boils, and then stuff can shoot from pot to pot. I missed this morning. I missed, but it was close. Right? In other words, the hot cocoa almost hit a fleishig pot. Now, we have to figure out, what are the dinim? Right? When the tipas cholav falls on a kedera, this is our agenda item. Not found anywhere in Masechta Chulin in this discussion, but the primary source is in Zvachim on Sadi Vav. There is a din of Merika Ushtifa, which is a keli that was used to cook kachin in it. So you have to rinse it out with hot water and then cold water, because the blias could become nosar. That's the basic din of Merika and Shtifa. It's a pasuk, umorak v'shutaf v'amoyim. In fact, the Rav used to comment that the reason why every year we learn Parshas Tzav right before Pesach is because Merika and Shtifa is very similar to the din of Hechsher Kalim, right? And as such, we want to prepare for it with the pasuk of Umorat v'shutaf b'mayim. We want to prepare for Pesach, which, as we know, is the yontiv of Hechsher Kalim. That's what the Rav says. Okay, so Merika and Shtifa is a discussion. Is a mitzvah, or is a matir? There are different ways of understanding it, but these are the Gemaras in Parak Dam Chattas. Frek the Gemara, what happens if it's Bisha b'miksas ha'kli? Do you still need Merika u'shtifa? Now, Bisha b'miksas ha'kli does not mean that I have food only in one corner of the pot, right? Bisha b'miksas ha'kli means that there's irui that hits the pot, right? That there is some kachin that hits the pot. So the shaila is, do I have to do Merika u'shtifa on the entire pot? Or is it enough to just get rid of the makom that it hit the pot? There is a din that, let's say, begodim have kachim touch it. So I require kibus begodim, but the kibus begodim is almost like spot cleaning. Kibus begodim means that you clean off the one area, let's say, where the dam hits. Nishalat hasha'ilah, what about Bisha b'miksas ha'kli? Do I require Merika u'shtifa b'chol ha'kli? So the Gemara says, at first the Gemara says it's mistavra, it's like a beged, that you don't require Merika u'shtifa b'chol ha'kli. But then the Gemara says, no, mi dami, dam loy mifapeya, bishol mifapeya. Unlike the dam, when I'm zorik the dam on the beged, it does not spread at all. But by bishul, it does spread. Moreover, the Gemara has like this braisa, that there's a chumra of haza'a over merika, and a chumra of merika over haza'a. Basically, the chumras of haza'a over merika, is that haza'a applies to all karbanis, right? Merika only applies to those karbanos which are ne'echal, right? That's why Hazah applies both to the chatos chitzonios and the chatos pnimios, even though the chatos chitzonios are not ne'echal. But merika only applies on those things which are ne'echal, and for the same reason, hazaa applies. Hazaa, or the kibos, I should say, applies even before zrikas hadam, but merika ushtifa is a din only on something that is ne'echal, so it does not apply before zrikas hadam. That's all in the Gemara. So what emerges from this Gemara is that there's a chumra of hazaa over merika, and the chumra of merika ushtifa over hazaa is that merika ushtifa applies even Bisham mixas kli, ton meriko shtifa b'chal hakli. So the Gemara is just poshet at shayla. We see then the case what we'll call iroi, right? That bisham mixas hakli, you require meriko ushtifa b'chal hakli. Then the Gemara goes on, and the Gemara says, Taima mai, amar kura im b'klein nechoshes b'shala, afilu b'mixas kli. The Gemara derives from a pasuk, in Bechlin, Nechoshes Bushala, which by the way is the beginning of that pasuk of Umorak Vishutaf Bamoyim, Zakli Gemara Afilu B'mixas Kli. Now, the Gemara is only talking about Meriko Shtif, which is in Kachim. Do I carry this over to Hechshar Kalim? Do I carry this over, forget Hechshar Kalim, do I carry it over to our case of when a tipas cholov is nafla al ha kedera? Not at all clear in the Gemara, and Tosfos already on the top of Tzadi Baba Mefez is bothered by this, and Tosfos says something. Well, I don't understand what's going on over here. If the keli is on the ish and the whole keli is hot, so of course it is going to be mifapeya b'chol hakli. And if you want to know, maybe you're asking that even though the kli is hot, maybe it's not mifapeyas, and we should have that kshal on meseches chul and not on meseches vachim. That's what Tosfos says. So Tosfos is bothered by two things. One, if you read the Tosfos carefully, is what is the tzir? What is the case of bisha b'mixas kli? Is the case that the kli is on the fire, but some of the kli is still cold? So if that's the case, I understand the shaila. But then why are we saying later on in the Gemara that's mifapeya? And if it's really hot, if everything is hot, so we should have the shaila in Meseches Chulin. That's what Tosfos says. Ad kan. The Shita Mekubetzes, on the side of the page here in Zvachim, the Shita writes that Tosfos' original hanacha is actually the way to understand the Gemara, that the kli is on the eish, but the entire kli is not yet hot. And the Chok Nosan in the back of the Gemara explains that afilu hachi we have a svara that it's going to be mifapeya b'kulo. Since kelim usually get hot through the entire thing, so the Indian Kajim, we have a shayla that maybe we will say the entire kli requires merika ushtifa because normally the whole thing gets hot. Right now, right again, I have a pot I just put on the fire. So the bottom of the pot is mamish hot, no? The top of the pot is cold. So Tosfos says, that can't be the sade, because why on earth would you assume that it's mifapeya b'kulo? Right, the Gemara says that there's a difference between dam, which is not mifapeya, and the by meriko shtifa, or it is mifapeya. Tosfos says if it's cold, it should not be mifapeya at all. So therefore, Tosfos doesn't like the tzir that the kli is not yet hot. But if the keli is hot, Tosfos says, shouldn't we have the shayla in chulin? That's the way the Tosfos is written. Says the Shita Mekubetzes, really the kli is on the fire, but the top of the kli is not yet hot. Nonetheless, we have a shayla because since usually kelim that are used to cook kachim are on the fire and become hot, maybe in this case it's like a low plug min hatorah. That's what the Chok Nosan says is the pshat in the Tosfos, or the pshat in the Gemara against the Tosfos. So Chok Nosan is saying the pshat in the Shita Mekubetzes, which is against the Tosfos. Now, according to the Chok Nosan and the Shita, the Gemara in Zevachim, Lechora, is completely unrelated to the Gemara in Chulin, or to the non-Gemara in Chulin, no? The Gemara in Zevachim is telling me Yesod, that is true, perhaps, if it's true, it's true only by Karbanis. Stamazai is a Chumr by Karbanis. It's a Chumr by Kodshim. But it would not be true at all by Chulin. And by Chulin, by Kashrus and Yonim, I don't know what the din would be. However, the second Mahalach in Tosfos is saying that if the entire pot is hot, so the same dinim that are true by Kachim should be true by Chulin. I'm doing this for a reason. Another way of looking at this question as to whether the same dinim that are true by Kachim are true by Chulin is based on that last line in the Gemara. When the Gemara says, my taima, and then the Gemara picks up on taima mai, excuse me, taima mai, the Gemara says, in bekwein achoshes bushala, does that mean that this is a din only by Kachim? Right? Because it's exeris hakosav, like mean Kachim. Or do I say that no? That the pasuk is megale that you need miriko shtifa b'chalakli, but hu hadin le'inyin chulin, it would be the same thing. Right? So there are two ways of looking at this question as to whether this gemara, which is in Zvachim, is limited to karbanis, or whether the gemara has applications le'inyin kachim. Way one should depend on the two opinions in Tosis in setting up the gemara, at least with our understanding that opinion one in Taisvis is the same as the opinion in the Shita Mekubetzes, and the Chok Nosan gave his beer over there. So, two opinions in Tosis might depend whether it's related to the Gemara or it's related to the non-Gemara in Chulin. Alternatively, the last line in Gemara, how I understand that pasuk and B'klein Choshes Bushala, whether it is kind of megala the din, or whether it's a special din by Kachim, that's also the same chakira. Now, this chakira, as to whether the Gemara in Zvachim is relevant for Inyane Kashrus, is a gigundous machlekas harishayim that is found here in the Torah, and there are at least three shitos, but if you kind of get beneath the line, you might have four or five shitos, va'afaresha sichasi. What's the halacha when a tipas cholov falls on the pot? Now, conceptually, we could look at this in a few different ways. I could say that when, just like a tipas cholov falls on the chaticha of basar, there is immediate diffusion to that entire chaticha of basar, right? According to Rashi in his tzir, according to the Ri in his tzir. So, hu hadin, there is immediate diffusion to the entire kedera. I could say it like that. Alternatively, I could say that chatichos of basar are different than a kedera. Maybe because it's not like a one-step process. When the tipas cholov falls on the kedera, so it's ki'il, it stops there for a second, and then it goes from that kedera into the food. And because it stopped there for a second, it is somewhat analogous to our din of Isser Davok. Let's explain this one. Everything comes up in Torah, no? And everything is connected. The Yesod of Isser Davok, if you remember, we had two opinions. How to understand Isser Davok? Remember, we had two opinions in the Prima Gadim. So one opinion in the Prima Gadim is that Isser Davok is basically a chashash that maybe you'll take it out of the rotav right away. So that has absolutely no shaykhes to hear. But the other mahalach of Isser Davok is saying, right, the shach writes in Ayin Beis, or that it's memaher leflola, that it absorbs more quickly. What that means is, there is like the primary location of the bliya, and then there's a secondary location of the bliya, and the primary location of the bliya gets more bliya than the secondary locations. If that's the case, so I could say that tipas chol shenofla al hakedera, it's as if there is a primary bliya on the kedera, And it goes from the Kedera into everything else. But the Kedera itself will retain more Isser than the stuff that's inside the pot. No? The Shaila is when Tipas Chola falls on the Kedera. So do I assume that it immediately diffuses the entire pot? Do I say no? The Kedera itself is Ke'ilu and Isser Davuk, and it retains Isser more. That's another conceptual way of looking at this question. But just to go back, there's like mechanics and concepts. In the mechanical issue, we want to know whether the Gemara in Zvachim is the same as the Din by Kashrus. And there are three, or at least three shitos here. The Smag says that since the Gemara in Zvachim comes to Amaskana, that Bishop Amixas Hakli ta'an Miriko Shtifa B'chol Hakli, so therefore the Smag says, when the Tipas Cholov falls on the Kedera, the entire Kedera absorbs the Cholov. The Cholov goes to the entire Kedera. And the Smag does not say that it ever enters the Maichol. It never enters the food at all. Right? It goes into the Kedera and it stays on the Kedera. And it's an exact parallel to the Din of Miriko Shtifa. That Miriko Shtifa, the entire Kli, absorbed the Kachem with like that one, what we call Iri on the Kli. And here also, the entire Kli absorbs the Cholov. That's the Bayer of the Smag. The Maharam of Rutenberg, as understood by the Beis Yosef, the Maharam says that the Gemara in Zvachim is irrelevant for our discussion by Kashrus. The Maharam writes, "Mid itzrich kra l'kachim alma de'enam fapeya b'kulei." Right, Maharam is saying that the Gemara in Zvachim has a maskana based on the pasuk in Kli Nechoshes Kibushala, so it's irrelevant to Kashrus. And by Kashrus, I have to use my own svara. What should happen? So says the Maharam, you know what? If it comes to using my own svara, I have a suffix. And my suffix is, does the Tipas Cholov spread throughout the entire Kedera and spread so much and diffuse so much that Mamish becomes bottle? Or does it go inside the Kedera, in which case it is going to end up being bottle in the contents of the Kedera? Or do I say to some extent, like Shneim Ka'achas Shavim, that it goes, that the Tipas Cholov goes within the Kedera and spreads? And it trafes up to Shishim Pa'amim of that original Tipa. And it also goes into the Kedera directly. And therefore the Maharam Tainas, that in order to solve all problems, I need Shishim Pa'amim Shishim. I need 60 times 60. No? That's what the Maharam says. Okay. Right? So the Maharam is basically saying that the Gemara in Zvachim has a Shaila. And the Gemara in Zvachim has a maskana that it is paishet, it's nispashet b'chol hakli, but that's irrelevant for what I need to know. Because what I need to know is, what's the din by kashrus? The Gemara has no shaychus to that, so by kashrus I use my own svara, and the Haram is super duper frum, he wants to be machmir for everything, no? The Shepta points out the Maharam of Rutenberg's general approach to life was to be yotzei kol hadeis. Right? That's why the Maharam of Rutenberg, for example, used to make a bracha achrona beside before we're saying tefilas haderech to be yotzei kol hadeis. Maybe right tefilas haderech doesn't begin with baruch because of bracha smuch al chaverta. Now the Maharam of Rutenberg was machmir for kol hadeis. That's why he would never make bread with just meperos, because he was choshish that maybe it would be ton chala, maybe not. So he'd always add mayim to it, in which case, v'kuliyam, it's chayivan chala, no? Maharam of Rutenberg was super duper frum man. And Maharam of Rutenberg, part of his being super duper frum over here, is he says, you know what, I'm not sure what the svara is. I don't know what happens to the tipas cholov. So therefore, maybe it's mispashet more than itself 60 times, and maybe it goes right in. So therefore, I need shishim, pa'amim, shishim. That's Maharam. Third shita, which is the shita that makes it to the big book of the Shulchan Aruch, is the smack. The smack was, the way Dr. Salvechik quotes it, he's the kitzur Shulchan Aruch of the Rishonim. The smack was broken down into Zayin Yomim. Right? You're supposed to learn 1/7 of the smack every day, and that way each week you chazer all taryag mitzvahs. Kind of awesome, no? But it's not really taryag mitzvahs. It's really all the dinim that are nogei alamaisa, no? He doesn't like talk about being mavrib and olamolech. Right, what can we do? So the smack basically says, you know what, it seems to me that there's a difference whether the tipas cholav is nafla keneged ha-reikon or keneged ha-molei. If the tipas cholav falls keneged ha-molei, so it's going to go straight into the path, and if you have shishim keneged that tipa, it's going to be fine. But if it falls keneged ha-reikon, so then the path is going to be treif. Where the pot is going to be up to 60 times more than that tipa, a problem. Meaning, the Beis Yosef understands the smack as saying that just like according to the Maharam, the more the tipa spreads, the more mutter it becomes. Right? The Maharam says, if it spreads throughout the entire kli, the whole thing is mutter, I'm just, right? Worried, maybe it didn't spread that much. The smack also says that same yisayid. The more it spreads, the more mutter it becomes. But unlike the Maharam, who does not distinguish between nafla keneged hamolei and nafla keneged harekon, the smack says if it's nafla keneged hamolei, it's going to go straight in, and as long as you have shishim kenegda, it's going to be mutter. That's the basic din as found over here. Okay. Very nice, and Shulchan Aruch Paskins like the smack. Now, the Taz, who we've commented many times, the Taz views himself as a commentator on the Tur rather than a Perish on the Shulchan Aruch. So the Taz over here is bothered by the Lashon of the Tur within the smack. The Lashon of the Tur within the smack is, by the way, the Tur does not quote the smag by name, right? But he calls the smack the Sefer HaMitzvahs, right? So the Lashon of the Torah is, Imnafla b'makom harekon, v'hi mefapala, v'hi mefapa'as b'dofen hakadera, ad samach l'rotov, kol kach she'en shishim keneged ha-tipa, harei nesar osa makom sh'akadera. Meaning, if it falls keneged harekon, and it diffuses ad samach l'raitav kol kach she'en shishim, so that there's no shishim, so then it is aser. Then the osa makom shal ha-kedera is aser. Says the Taz, what's that kol kach? Kol kach sounds like, right, that it spreads so much. Well, if it spreads so much, according to the Beis Yosef, if it's mamish mutter. So what does the Lashon of Kol Kach mean? Sounds like, I would assume, Kol Kach is a Kula. Yet the smack is really saying that there's a Chumrah. The Chumrah is that maybe it only spread until right above the waterline. So therefore the Taz says, you know what, Beis Yosef, you misinterpreted the smack. And really what the smack means is azoy, that the more the iser spreads, or the more the cholav spreads, the more usser it's going to be. Remember, Beis Yosef says that the more it spreads, the more mutter it's going to be. Because the iser becomes batal, or the cholav becomes batal in the lachluches shebekedera. But the taz says, bedas hasmak, that the more it spreads, the more usser it's going to be. And then the Taz says that even according to the Maharam, the more it spreads, the more usser it's going to be, right? The only thing is that Maharam is saying that if the pot was previously used, so then the blios inside the pot will make it spread more and potentially become mutter. But if it's a pot without blios, so then the more it spreads, the more usser it's going to be. Now, the Beis Yosef says that both Maharam and Smak, the more it spreads, the more mutter. The Taz says, the more it spreads, the more usher. And then the Taz adds a nakuda, and he says, when the tipas chala falls neged hamolei, so we have to be concerned, or even if it falls neged harekon, it doesn't matter where it falls. But I have to be concerned with another possibility, that the tipas cholof landed and never left where it was. Let's go, that's chazar. According to the Beis Yosef, my only possibilities are, does the tipas cholof diffuse to everything and become entirely mutter? Or does the tipas cholof enter the pat, and if I have shishim, it's going to be mutter? If I don't have shishim, it's going to be aser. Those are the only possibilities according to Beis Yosef. The Taz invents a new possibility. The Taz's new possibility is that maybe the tipas cholov fell on the kedera and it stayed right where it fell. It didn't move at all. And therefore, I have to be worried that maybe, even though I have shishim keneged the tipas cholov, but maybe the kedera itself bribes usher. The kedera remains usher because the tipas cholov didn't move. And the Taz says, my pshat is obviously correct because the Gemara has a suffix in Zvachim about whether bisha b'miksas hakli, tam riko shtifa b'chol hakli or not. In other words, am I medama it to the dam that lands on the beged? If I'm a dam to the dam that lands on the beged, so then only that makom is a problem. There is no possibility that's mentioned in the Gemara in Zvachim that the Isser somehow goes out. There's no, right? The makel dik possibility in Zvachim is that that one pinpoint area where it hit has to be kashered. So here also, according to the smack, argues the Taz, right? Again, and the smack is very important. Because of the three major shitas, he's the one who we paskin like. So according to the smack, we have to be worried, says the Taz, that it stays where it is. Just like in the Gemara in Zvachim, if it is dome to the beged, so the iser, or the dam, stays where it is. Now, Nirlofi and Nisdaiti, I know I'm confusing people, and I know I don't usually do cheshbin like this, but Nirlofi and Nisdaiti, that the Taz is completely off base here. Because we began the sugya by noting that there's a fundamental question. Do I assume that the Gemara in Zvachim is relevant for Inyani Kashrus? And we had two different ways of saying that the Gemara in Zvachim might not be relevant, right? There's a Gzeres HaKosav at the end, and the two opinions in Taisvis, right, about setting up the Tzir, the first opinion Taisvis, also means that it's irrelevant for Kashrus. If it's irrelevant for Kashrus, so then L'cha'ira, I have zero evidence that it should stay where it is. And the entire Yesod of the Taz is that, oh, I see in the Gemara in Zvachim that the most Mekodik position says it stays where it is. And therefore, that makom of the kli, right, got iser. Or that makom of the kli has cholov. And even if it doesn't go in, that makom remains cholov, right? That's what the Taz says. Well, that's completely a red herring. Because the Taz is invoking the Gemara in Zvachim, but what we're learning is that Gemara in Zvachim has no shaychis, according to the Smak and according to the Maharam. Right, the smack in the Maharam, we pointed out, right? The smag says, I'll follow the rules in the Gemara in Zvachim. And therefore we pass in that Bishop b'miksas hakli, the Tan Mariko Shtifa b'chol hakli. But the Maharam and the smack say the Gemara in Zvachim is irrelevant. If the Gemara in Zvachim is irrelevant, so then I can't dig up that line in the Gemara in Zvachim to say that that Mukim has to be Usar. Now, the Taz is also difficult for another reason. The Taz says the following idea. The Taz says, let's say, right, the Taz is convinced that the makom when Tipas Cholav hits, that makom becomes milchik. So one could argue, therefore I'm not allowed to use the kli, because there's some milchiks in the kli. Says the Taz, no, of course you're allowed to use the kli. Because just like it wasn't mefapeya inside the kli the first time, it won't be mefapeya into the kli the second time. No? That's what the Taz writes. And this seems to me to be absolutely sisri Torah. Vim inam mefapas, lo yeso gamav tavshur sheyivashul ba'acharkach. It won't ask for the second time. Demaishna min harishon. Sisri Torah. I don't understand this Taz ki hu zeh. I don't get it. The Taz also, basically, l'shitasai. I'm learning the Taz of cutting your test. There would have been another way to get out of this issue and say that there's no problem to use the kli, even though some of the kli is treif. And that's based on the din that we learned in Sof Simon Sadi text, that Darko Leishtamesh Bo B'Shefa. The only thing is, as the Prima Gadim notes, the Taz disagrees with the Mechaber over there, and the Taz holds that Darko Leishtamesh Bo B'Shefa is only matter by a Dover Pogel, and therefore it won't help over here. So that would not help. I don't know why the Taz assumes that if that Enochanami, the Kele becomes treif in that pinpoint area, or the Kele becomes milchik in that pinpoint area, but it can't treif anything else up. I don't understand the svara of it, kihuza. Now the Taz earlier in Sifkotin Yud Zayin, the Taz quotes a Maharshal, who seems to agree with what the Taz says in Sifkatin Yutess. The Taz, I think, in Yutess, let's say it like this. The Taz in Yud Zayin quotes an Isser V'Heter and a Maharshal. The Isser V'Heter is saying that the Kedera Mamish becomes treif. That's against what the Taz says in Yutess. But the Maharshal in the Taz Sifkatin Yud Zayin seems to be in accordance with what he says in Sifkatin Yutess. I don't know why. I just spent a lot of time on the Tazes today, and I think what I'm saying makes some sense, but you'll have to look at it and tell me if it makes sense to you, because that's really what's important. So we have three shitos. Either we're domiting Baron Tzvachim and it spreads to everything, and the whole thing becomes very smag. Mahara means you need shishim po'amim shishim. And the smack says that if it falls connected harekan, it's going to go straight in. If it falls connected hamolek, goes straight in. If it falls connected harekan, it doesn't. There is a machlekes between the taz and the shach about when it falls connected hamolek. Do I assume that it just goes straight in like in one shot, or do I treat the dofen hakadera like a stopping point or like an Isser Dovok type of idea that remain b'dofen akadera in that one area? That seems to be the hesber of everything. Now,
meaning the Moshloka Shach and Tazi that Rabbi just mentioned is whether or not the Kli is going to be kosher?
Whether the Kli is a stopping point. Now, according to the Taz, the area where the Cholav hits remains Milchit. It does not just go straight in. Again, according to the Taz within the smack, which we pass with the smack, so there's going to be some milchiks in that area. It's irrelevant milchiks, the Taz says, because if it didn't come out the first time, it won't come out the second time, but it's milchiks. The Shach says it's not milchik at all. It goes straight through into the stuff that's inside. Right? That's basically what emerges. L'maisa, right? What would emerge according to the Taz, is you have to kasher the kli, even though using the kli won't treif anything up. Okay, I'm not going to have a chance to do everything now, but let's just do one other thing. When we're talking about the shitas harishonim here, so there's another shita in Rishonim that we didn't get into, which is in the tshuva of the Maharam. And in the they ask a question about what's the din of a tipas kol shenofa dofen at kadeira. So he quotes that I have a tshuva of Rabbeinu Shimshon lahatir. No? Now the Beis Yosef says that really what Maharam meant is that the Rabbeinu Shimshon is only matir when you have shishim palamim shishim, the same as the Maharam. However, there is an entirely other way of looking at it, which is that Rabbeinu Shimshon would be matir mikol v'kol. Rabbeinu Shimshon is going to say that tipas cholov shenofa kedera, nothing could ever become usser, because... And the Gra has this nusach here in Os Chav Vav in the Likut, because it's like shtei kederos hanog os zu bezu. If I have a milchik pat that touches a fleshik pat, nothing happens to the stuff that's inside. Right? What's outside stays outside. What's inside stays inside. Milchik touches fleshik, nothing at all goes inside. Says the... this day of the Rash that's quoted in the Maharam, that what's outside the pot, the tipas cholov falls on outside the pot, it doesn't go inside the pot at all, it can never go inside the pot, nothing ever happens. It's like shtei kederos hanogos zu es zu. Now the Gra says that this opinion is completely not shayich lahalacha, because the din of shtei kederos hanogos zu bezu that doesn't create an iser is because just like two chatichos that touch each other, there's going to be no absorption from one to the other without rotav. So also two kalim that touch each other, there's going to be no absorption from one to the other without rotav. Meaning, right, this entire shita is based on a mistaken understanding of shtei kederos nogos zubizu. But the Megillah Sefer writes that actually what the Gra considers a mistaken understanding is actually what the Rash really holds. And that opinion of the Rash is really saying that when a tipas cholov falls on the outside of the pot, nothing happens on the inside. Again, this opinion would also be saying that the Gemara in Zvachim that says that l'maisa tam rikos shtifa b'chol hakli is irrelevant for inyanei kashrus, like we began with today. Okay, so we're going to break in daven mincha. Maybe tomorrow I want to do vav and zayin. Maybe I'll give you guys some more time. I'll decide later. But I have a couple of more ha'aros over here. My main nekuda that I wanted to say today, which I hope I brought across clearly, is I mamish don't understand how the Taz can try to invoke the Gemara in Zvachim within the Shita of the Smak. Okay, gentlemen, we should have a blessed and marvelous day.